Once again, I would like to start today with an introduction to my series of lectures. It's called The Heart or the Art of Prayer. This will be the introduction, and then I don't yet know when, but throughout the coming days, we will have the follow-up seminars. Good, so let us start. Dede-radha Madhava Gunya Viha Rinde Adha Madhava Gunya Viha Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadari Vallava Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallava Vagiri varadari Valava Giri varadari Yasoda nandana Vraja jananandana Yasoda nandana vraja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Vijaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Vijaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gaura Premanani, Hari 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 Bo,
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Beautiful, beautiful. My dear devotees, we will read today from the Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, third chapter, text 1. in this text, you will find a very, very important principle that holds true for all prayers, and interestingly also for all japa chanting, you know, the repeated chanting of the Lord's name. Prayer and also chanting can become a direct communication with Krishna. Talking to him face to face, if this principle is understood. If this principle, however, is not understood or neglected, then that deeply satisfying feeling of being in contact with Krishna or communicating with Krishna is something that has to wait for the future until this principle is understood. So I request you, we will just chant it a few times. You can see it here, but even if you can't see it, no problem. May we know which verse? 8th canto, 3rd chapter, text 1. I know some of you have Veda base on the mobile telephones, and you can take it from there. 831. Shri Badaraya Niruvacha. Evam Vyavasito Buddhya. Samadaya Manohridi. Japa Paramam Japyam. Prajnanam Yanu Shikshitam. Shri Badaraya Niruvacha. Evam Vyavasito Buddhya. Samadaya Manohridi. Japa Paramam Japyam. Prajnanam Yanu Shikshitam. Can we have one devotee, please? No, it's okay. Then. Yes, thank you very much for the interest of brevity. We will leave it here. My dear devotees, this is a great soul who turns to Krishna in prayer and uses a particular method that is repeated again and again in the Bhagavatam. Before we go to the method or the style or the mood or whatever you want to call it, let me please give you the context. This is about Gajendra. Most of you are familiar with his story. He had been a great king in his previous life, but then due to an accident, really, he was cursed to take on the body of an elephant, and in that body he forgot his previous existence. It's a little bit like all of us who are now in the body of a German or a Serbian or creation, and we have forgotten who we were before, and we take this as our reality at the moment. It's a typical situation for the soul encased in a body. So he comes into trouble. As an elephant, he's surrounded by his tribe. He goes to take a bath in a beautiful, placid lake, and is attacked there by a monstrous crocodile, and fights with the crocodile to save his life. But because the crocodile is an inhabitant of the water and is, so to say, in his element, the crocodile wins the fight and he loses blood. Gajendra, the elephant, loses blood and strength and also conviction that he can win this struggle. His body and mind are weakened, in other words, because he is not in his element. Mm. And in this situation, it's really a crisis. He turns to the Lord. Unfortunately, we as conditioned souls mostly turn in prayer to the Lord when we are in a crisis. Before that, it is difficult for us because we are so identified with our body and mind. But when this collapses, so to say, in a crisis, you know, our good name, for instance, or our health, if that begins to collapse, it's easiest for us to access a deeper level of existence. There is, however, another way, the positive way, that makes it possible. What is the mood or the consciousness in which one can always chant? Do you remember? Yeah, to be very humble, lower than the grass. I mean, someone who is more lower than the grass, he has also collapsed. He is no longer the proud person from Germany or wherever he is, or is no longer thinking mentally, I'm intelligent. If he is feeling dainyam, a feeling of wretchedness, that's how it turns, or lowliness, existential lowliness, he has also collapsed. The difference is that in the crisis, you collapse because you are forced. And when you choose to cultivate humility in body, mind, and words, it's your own voluntary situation. So no matter in what mood you are, or how you have deconstructed your illusion, either by force when you came in a crisis, which all of us will, death is also there in our lives, it will, the ultimate deconstructor will come, wow, or you do it voluntarily as a Vaishnava, you deconstruct your illusions by entering the wretched, I'm fallen, this humble state of mind. It is in this state of life, in this disillusioned state of mind, where you can seriously turn to Krishna. Otherwise, it's just not so, it's not possible. My dear devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, before construction, That means construction of a new life comes deconstruction. You must, almost like when you build a house, let's be practical, when you have the ruins of an old house, you can't really build a house there. You have to remove the ruins. So in spiritual life, we also deconstruct. We remove the illusion. First of all, the body. We don't think we are the body. And then our mental concepts, we also take distance from that. Anyways, do I reach you? Can you understand me? Or should I go a little bit more simple with jokes maybe and so on? No, why do you laugh? It's a serious discussion. You can follow what I say. I'm not so good in English, and my thought is maybe not so clear. So good. So this humility or existential crisis is the position from which you can start spirituality in all seriousness. And when you are in this mood, you become interested, okay, how does this work, this process? How can I chant? How can I pray? And I admit my lecture is not for everyone in the Hare Krishna movement. We are quickly turning into a religion and leaving our spiritual roots. But I nevertheless will reach a lot of you, because you have come for spiritual life and for deepening your spiritual practice. So let us now understand, what did Gajendra do? He could understand, if I don't turn to Krishna, then I'm lost. I can't solve this on my own. So Shukadev Goswami explains, thereafter, you know, after he was attacked, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradyumna, in which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. So Prabhupada writes a long paragraph, not a wonderful purport, but because we have a certain goal here, I will just quote selectively a bit from here. It is imperative means it's a must, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. It must be practiced, no? Practice makes perfect. In the beginning, it is one thing, but after you have practiced, it's another thing. Certainly, one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha Mantra or Great Mantra, and also one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakara Satmasu or the Nishinga Stotra. Please say with me, Ito Nishinga Parat. Yes, we can say it all together immediately. Ito Nishinga Parato Nishinga Yato Yato Yami Yato Nishinga. Every devotee should practice. Practice means you're trying, you're learning how to improve it. You know, Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. It's possible that devotees in the Hare Krishna movement will take also a non-human form, apparently. No? So here is a practice, how to practice. The Sanskrit word is samadayamanohridi. The mind is drawn into the heart. Let me read this. Samadaya, for concentration. Manaha, the mind. Hriti, in the consciousness or in the heart. No, this is how you practice. This is, when I first read this, it was in the first canto. Then I read it consciously when Prahlad Maharaj prayed. There it's also said he took his mind and fixed it in his heart. And then I revisited this. Then I read it in the eighth canto. And I could not understand what the Bhagavatam was talking about. How to bring the mind in the heart? What is this? Is it bring the mind? Can I bring my mind anywhere? I think of things, but what does this mean to bring the mind in the heart? My dear devotees, please, for simplicity, let us make it easy. You can chant or say something by only using your vocal cords, no? By making a sound, a mechanic sound vibration. That happens very often when we are chanting. We are repeating the mantra in a somewhat mechanical way, and our vocal cords are active, our counting of japa is active. Now the second level is when you engage the mind. When, in other words, you are chanting not only with the vocal cords, but with the mind. The mind is there, it is fixed, it is concentrated, it is repeatedly going back to the sound vibration, and it is done with concentration. But then there is a deeper level, and this is where bhakti becomes potent, and bhakti is concentrated. It's when the heart is involved. In other words, when you do this with emotions, like for instance devotion to Krishna, or you're moved by Krishna's wonderful nature and you have admiration in your heart, or it is when devotion is there, love is a word also, or let us start with affection, you know, love is very high, and so on. At that time, body, mind, and heart are engaged in the chanting of the holy name, and that is when your chanting comes alive. As long as you, why? As long as you only use the vocal cords and the mind, and you are not chanting from a place of devotion or devotional emotions, it's still a material activity. you use the body and the mind, which are material elements. It's at the moment when you sincerely turn to Krishna that the holy name becomes manifested. Rupa Goswami explains this. He says, Atasi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriyai. Some of you can chant along with me. Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Svayam Eva Spuratyata. No? It says, the Krishna cannot be Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, cannot be understood with the material mind. The mind just can't go there. The Rig Veda says, he is the one where thoughts go, no, where words go and return unaccomplished. They have not been able to describe the Lord. He is the one where the mind goes and returns without having grasped him. Krishna is not attainable by our material efforts with the body and mind alone. Do you follow?
Yes.
It's almost like, let me give you an example. If I want to catch the air, or let us say, catch with my hand the words, and then throw the words to you with my hand. It doesn't work like this. I can't grasp sound vibration with the hand. So Krishna, his holy name, is so of a different category altogether. The body and mind can't reach him. It's only devotion which can get to him, and that is situated in the heart. No? Bhakti can reach Krishna. Bhakti can conquer Krishna's heart. Bhakti, in fact, is stronger than Krishna, says the Matara Shruti. You know, it's bhakti which is required. Krishna can, what is the verse in the Gita? I'm not a scholar at all. I have forgotten the verse, the Sanskrit verse. But it means, only by bhakti can I be understood as I'm standing before you. Do you remember this? Bhakti mang abhijanati. You are all the real people. Yes, bhakti. So that is my bhakti. Otherwise, it's not possible. I always make a joke. Let's have some jokes here. It may not be a hilarious joke, but it's a philosophical joke. No. So imagine to have an the way they have artiks in India, they have now the artik machines. Have you seen artik machines? They really, I mean, I would love to make a video and show it in the West. It's usually red, and then it has some arms, you know, some steel things or iron things, and it has a hammer in this. And then it has some gongs, and you put it in either in the wall, or if you have no electricity, you have a loud generator, and then you know it is energized, and then it goes ping 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 ping, ping. And no one is there before the deity. The artik machine does the artik. Is that bhakti? That there is no consciousness in the machine, no? And Krishna wants this. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami and the commentators make the point, bhakti always has to have two aspects to it. One is the effort that you do with the body, the mind, and everything. And that is Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, know, the effort you do. And then comes the bhava-rupa bhakti, the devotion, the insight. I maybe for my whole life do everything, jump up and down in kirtan, cook, say, please excuse my offenses, Prabhu, and do all the phrases which you have to learn in ISKCON to be one of those. I may be doing this, but I may miss the point as long as I don't turn to Krishna in a sincere way from the heart. Heart here not as an emotional thing, but as a devotional thing, and serve Krishna. It is so. There are many stories in our scriptures about devotees who do things externally. There's one thing I just now remember. I hope I remember it correctly. There was a king who offered to Krishna every day 100 roses made of gold and rubies. Can you understand? A golden stem, stick, and then the leaves were made of rubies. Very, very valuable. Now one day, a simple devotee came and he thought, how can Krishna eat rubies and gold? This is not satisfying for my Lord. And he made a simple roti and put it on top of the golden ruby offering, you know. Because he thought the Lord should eat. No, this is, you know, when you're really hungry, really hungry, not luxury hungry, a garland which is given to you, or sandalwood which is rubbed on your head, is of no interest. You say, stop giving me garland, stop giving me sandalwood, where is the pizza, please? No. You want to eat at that time and not have other things. So this devotee thought also, Krishna must be hungry. He's offered so many rubies and gold and so on. Now the king, when he heard that there was a simple devotee who had put a roti, roti means like chapati, no? Chapati over his offering, was so offended. Does he think he knows better than me how to please the Lord? Who does he think he is? Look at his dhoti. It is torn and dirty and soiled. He was so offended. And he went to the devotee and he said, And he said something which, there are many words in Serbian for this, and in German and in English, you know, we don't have a dearth of these words in our languages. You this and that, what have you done? And the devotee, oh, sorry, Majesty, I came every day and I saw this. I thought, my Lord is so hungry. I didn't want to offend you. And he was very, very disturbed. So in the evening, the Lord appeared to the king. And he said, I recognize that you want to serve me, but your service is mixed with the mode of passion. You want to become known as the most devoted servant of the Lord by making this very valuable and costly offering every day. But I must tell you, you have thought not about my pleasure. Your bhava was not there. The devotee, however, or the simple man, however, was thinking of my pleasure only, and therefore his offering is more pleasing to me. The king was crying because he was a good person, and he understood that what the Lord meant, that yes, his offering was had no devotional had not the devotional feeling. It was more about showing how what a great sacrifice he made. No, there was not the heart was not involved. Is this example clear to you? Good. There are many such examples in. Please excuse me that I asked you these questions, but because I have this problem, I can also not speak English. I always think others can also not understand, but you do understand. So, good. So anything which is done mechanically, without the involvement of the mind and the heart, is not really prayer. It's a recitation, and you can recite, of course, heartless and lifeless recitation, but it's not prayer in the way people use this word. No? Sometimes, due to negligence, it will happen to all of us that when we pray or when we chant, our mind wanders somewhere else. And at that time, our mind might understand. At that time, the words may be there, but the heart of the words is not there. They are lifeless. Lifeless. For instance, I must tell you, when I went on Braj Mandal Parikram, I went altogether 4 times, and I can only recommend every one of you to do this circumambulation of the greater area of Braj Mandala, where Krishna performs his pastimes. So, Keshava Maharaj did it last year. Yes, there were so many holy places, and we were always told that we should pray at these holy places. And so I thought, well, let me do. And I began to pray. But there were so many holy places, so I decided, let me not. I don't want to think about at every place about a new prayer. Let's make it simple. So I read the books and I understood. What the best prayer is, that is, pray for pure devotional service, you know. So I began to pray at every holy place for pure devotional service. Then, towards the end of the month of Kartik, we celebrated Gaurkishor Das Babaji's disappearance day, and the devotees asked me to go and cook in the kitchen. And I said, I don't do that. I don't cook. You can ask me to sing, or I can dance if you wish, but I don't do that. I'm not a cook. And at that time, I was Sachinandan Brahmachari. I didn't have this huge position. No guru, no sannyasi. I was just an ordinary member of our society without titles. The devotee said, but we really have a shortage of cooks, you know, and we need to to make this offering to Gaurakishordas Babaji. But I said, Prabhu, I'm a preacher. I'm a frontline preacher. Don't ask me, please, to do something which is totally out of my portfolio, out of what I usually do. I don't do this, you know. Even my mother couldn't get me to make spaghettis, you know. So later, in that evening, I never forget this. So we had a feast. I had not cooked. I can be quite stubborn, as those who are close to me know. So later in the night, I went for sleeping at 10 o'clock or so. But then all of a sudden, my stomach was very bad. And I had to go out of the sleeping bag. It was a little cold. And I vomited. I vomited the contents of the universe. You know, it was really a lot which came out. Then while I vomited, maybe I shouldn't go into the details, but through all the holes in the body, emissions came out, you know. And I lost my consciousness, and I was lying in Braj just next to the to all these unclean things. And when I woke up, it was very late, I could say. There was no light any longer in the camp. And from deep within, do you know this? When something comes clear from deep within, it was not from the mind, not from my thoughts, I could understand, here you are praying for pure devotional service. It means for the pleasure of Krishna you're doing, but you are still so much in the center of everything you do. I mean, I can only vomit when I think of you, Satchinandan Brahmachari. I could feel that so strongly. I felt from a deeper place. I don't think it was from the self-realized soul. It was just from a more serious place in me. I could just feel that a voice rising, which severely criticized myself. And then I was very humble. I remember the next day I drank a lot of electrolytes. That's the trick when you lose everything, that brings strength back. And I wanted to go in the kitchen, but I was still too tipsy. But then the day after, I became the kitchen boy. Because I did understand, I had prayed with my vocal cords, I had prayed, but not with understanding and not with the heart. And therefore, when the time came, when I was called to do service, it was not possible for me, because I was a prisoner of my ego, my own concepts of who I am, and what I do, and what I don't do. So, my dear devotees, prayer is something where you should go into a progression. You start with the words, and at that time, prayer is self-willed, if you so want. You want to do it. You read it. Then you chant it with your mind. You understand it, and finally you go to your heart and you mean it. So it's almost like walking through rooms. Now, I know this sounds terribly theoretic, and I want to make it a little practical for you. There is a prayer which I personally think will give joy to your heart when you hear it. It's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called an entreaty. Do you know the meaning of entreaty? I'm not so sure that I even know it. It is, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, you are learned. Entreaty, what does it? It means like a request or something, isn't it? A very strong request. So the prayer is like this. O mind, how will you ultimately take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna? Having had the desire to take shelter of those lotus feet since time immemorial, this wretched servant simply is waiting. So this was the first level of prayer. I just recited it. I was absent-minded. I didn't concentrate. Now let me go from this room into another room and chant it for you with the mind involved. Please try to listen to the difference. O mind, how will you ultimately take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna? Having had the desire to take shelter of those lotus feet, since time immemorial, this wretched servant simply is waiting. Okay? I try to concentrate and understand it. Now I will chant it from a deeper place and inside. Now what I need to do is, I need to somehow bring my mind to a devotional place. I need to fix my mind in my heart. This is... this gets difficult. This is not... I don't know if I can do it when you look at me, but I will try. Will you examine me carefully? No, yes. Oh, Maharaj, it's so boring. Will you, please? Oh, mind. How will you ultimately take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? I've had this desire to take shelter of those lotus feet since time immemorial, so long. But up till this moment, it doesn't work. I'm simply waiting and waiting. At this time, when you are in a devotional place, your prayer becomes self-impelled. You are in the mood. Oh, I'm simply waiting. Days go by, hours go by, but I'm simply waiting with an empty heart. I can see that my life is becoming less. I am already 71 years old. The end game is before me. Perhaps I have 10 more years until I turn into dementia. I'm simply waiting. Have you not given mercy to Ajamil? So, in other words, something starts. Something becomes a self-runner. My devotion comes, and I come to this place where I stand before the Lord with my mind in my heart, and I'm addressing Him in a very devotional way. And at that time, you know, now I was I can't do this in public. I'm, you know, not, and I don't think it can be done in public. But I wanted to give you a little understanding. Let me switch now into another level. Yes, by understanding such things about fixing the mind and going deeper, you can access a place in you which is very delightful. Once Prabhupada met a Christian priest called Gary Davis, and he said, and Gary Davis said, "How should I pray?" He's a Christian priest, you know. "Vater unser, der du bist im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, gib uns unser tägliches Brot." Genau. This is a Christian prayer. I think all of you have heard, know it. I only know it in German, you know. So he said, Prabhupada said, "We should pray, please let me love you." And another time he said, "We should pray, please give me the strength to serve you. Any other prayer will not make you happy." So these are very personal prayers, isn't it? "Let me love you. Please give me the strength to serve you. I'm trying, but I'm failing." Prabhupada once said like this. This is talking confidentially to Krishna. And here's another one. In Mayapur, Prabhupada spoke about this type of prayer. He said, "Although you are insignificant, you are God's sons." You know, for many, many times, many years, I thought, like most of the Hare Krishna members I have talked with, that I can't talk to God. He's so far away. Let's not be a sahajiya. No? Have you heard this word, sahajiya? It means someone who is ikidikit. You know, so. But Prabhupada here says something else. The thing is, if you never think you can pray to Krishna, you are most probably right. But because you have this in your mind. But if you think, "Let me just try," then you will be able to address Krishna, and you are also right. "Although you are insignificant," Prabhupada says, "you are God's sons." So he likes to talk to his sons or daughters, no? Just like a small child. Everyone knows that he cannot talk, the child. Still, the father tries to make him talk, to enjoy. So this Mayapur Chandradaya temple is teaching all these fools and rascals how to talk to God. That is our mission. We have many other missions also, but this is one of our missions, to teach us how to talk to God. And I think this idea of chanting from the heart is, or praying for the heart is possible. Now, my dear devotees, this is a science which is very difficult to learn. You know, if you want to learn bhakti, where do you go? Do you go to the book? You go to devotees. There's a saying, when I want to have honey, I don't go, you know, for instance, lotus honey. I don't go to the lotus flowers, because how can I bring the honey out of the lotus flowers? Where I will go is, I go to the honeybees who have their hive just nearby, and steal the honey there. In the same way, if I want bhakti, I can't go directly to Krishna. I have to go to the bhaktas, to the real devotees of Krishna. And because this art of prayer, or heart of prayer, is just so deep, we will hear in the coming days from Kunti Devi about how she prays. And we will reduce, we will summarize her prayers in three simple steps how we can pray. Is this a good program? But because I don't want to leave you on a limbo, I want to do with you the prayer you are most used to, the Hare Krishna mantra, and I will try my best to bring you to a deeper level as you chant. Are you willing to make an experiment? Good. Why do you want to do this? To get a feeling of this, no? So please sit straight. So first, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we do now the first level of chanting. Please chant loud. We can see that in comparison to yesterday, you are still warming up your vocal cords. That's all right, but try to sing louder and then it will be your chanting on the physical level. We will go to a few more steps. Please, first let's go to the first step, the body. Chant now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yes, very good. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, we go now to the next level, the mind. That means as we sing, we focus the mind on each single name. It will be easy because we chant still quite slowly. So you try to be just fully present with each name. The way I do it is, I imagine my mind to be like the Chandogya Upanishad says, like a falcon, it's a bird, who lands on a branch. So in the same way, I let my mind be present and land, so to say, on each of the mantras. This is a Chandogya Upanishad. It really works. Please, full focus now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. After bringing the body and mind to the process, which is somewhat still the beginning states, it's not yet bhakti, we want to bring our devotion to it. Please think of Krishna the way you think of him normally. Maybe you have a deity of the Lord, or you can also think of Gonitai and bring the deity into your mind's eye. You could, for instance, see yourself standing before Radha Syam Sunda or the deities, or of a picture. Or maybe you come from the Orthodox Christian background and you have not yet a clear Vaishnava understanding, then your other understanding from before is good. And then you sing to him. We will go up a little bit. Please, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing fully, fully. Yes. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Once again, bring your mind to where your devotion sits, and then try to address Krishna, the deity, the way the Lord is for you. Let's do this together. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Bhakti is never a mechanical process. You have to turn up fully, not just body, mind, and heart has to be there. Some say it has to start with the heart, just like when someone is in love, it shows that he blushes and he stutters. Or let us have another emotion which is more common for us. When we are angry, our forehead becomes compressed. There's a fold here. We may start to stare and become rigid. This is very difficult to do, to be angry, if it's not in the heart. If you're not really upset inside. So bhakti also, yes, it manifests outside by activities, but if it's a real thing, if it's not some words, it must be in the heart. It must start there. Devotional perfection is very difficult to attain. Sadanoge anasanger alabhyasu chiratapi harina chashvadetyeti dvidasasyat sudulaba. Devotional perfection is very difficult to attain for two reasons. First reason, unless one is attached, this is something which happens in the heart, no? And unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection, even if he renders devotional service for a long time. And second, Krishna does not so easily give that devotion in devotional service. This is why bhakti is not such an easy thing. But yes, those who strive who say, "My Lord, I'm desiring to come to you, but I'm still waiting up to this moment." And those who have their mind focused in the right way, the Lord will be attracted, just like the imperfect language and activities of the child will attract the mercy and the compassion of the Father. So we will try to learn to chant prayers, not in a mechanical way, but in a bhakti way. And we hope that Krishna will see our efforts, and he will be pleased, like the father is pleased by the broken language of the child. And give some milas, no? Hare Krishna. So, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Could you understand what I was trying to say? If you forget everything, which you will do, as normal, you know, we are overloaded with information. Just remember this one thing. You need to go, like you walk through the rooms to get your prasadam, you may have to walk until you come to your, where the eating is. So you have to walk through the body, the mind, and then get to the heart and stand in that devotional place. You can try this during the summer camp, because there will be good impetuses. You know, devotees will speak about Krishna consciousness, we will chant, we will also have unpleasant experiences, perhaps we will quarrel, some of us, you know. And afterwards, but we feel, oh no, I quarreled even on the summer camp. Why am I so much? And we will feel wretched and humble after that. And maybe then we turn to the Lord. No? Please help me. But the main thing is, try to turn to the Lord when you do these things. No? Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, but Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Jiva Goswami says it's really one. There are not two. And the example is given of a chickpea that has two halves, but they are joined together. It's one chickpea. No, so in the same way, the things, our activities should be imbued. Imbued means pervaded, penetrated by devotion. Oh, nice. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. Does any one of you have a question, or should we perhaps, I see one devotee, Nita Daya. Nita Daya, you were a Jesuit aspiring priest, so I hope you bring some of your previous knowledge into your question. Mm-hmm. Because Jesuits do pray a lot.
Connection of the mind with our heart, does it mean connection of the mind with our eternal nature?
Yeah, the connection with the mind, with the heart, a very good question. See, Nitaidaya, bhakti is not just a nice feeling. I must admit, in the exercise, I tried to take an emotional melody. But it's only a pedagogic way to say, you know, we can we can chant more with an emotion to such a melody than if we go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Then it's very difficult to do it. But such a melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But that's a musical induced emotion. Bhakti goes a little bit deeper. And the way, when if you want to bring your mind into the heart, you will have to interact with Krishna in some way, not just focus. For instance, you can look at the deity while you chant, or bring the form of the deity in your mind. Somehow, when you want to bring your mind to the heart, to the devotional heart, and contact a real devotional feeling, and not just a nice emotion, here we go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and all the Matajis cry because it's so emotional. That is not yet, that's just musical. But you need to bring Krishna in it. Like Rupa Goswami says, bhakti means to engage. Bhakti is for Krishna, first of all. It is done with body, mind, and speech. And then it is done in what mood? You remember? Favorable. That means to please, for instance, Krishna. No? So when you want to bring bhakti into your life, you will have to access this definition of Rupa Goswami, and you need to bring yourself there. And because we only have at the moment the body and the mind is fully developed, it's still a lot of cheshta, a lot of effort. But then, when you bring that Krishna response, Nitadaya, I want to remind you of those moments which all of us have, these Krishna moments when we do japa. You know, we may sit down in the beginning and, oh, it's so much work. We have to concentrate. We have to repeat the name and so on. And we may be hungry, or we may have so many things going on in our life, but we say to Krishna, oh, okay, my Lord, I'm just showing up now. I'm showing up means I'm present. I'm doing this now. Let's do this. And then you think, oh, let's do this right. And you try to focus on Krishna. You say, oh my God, this is an absolute Krishna empty japa. Maybe I should look at a photo of Radha's, of any deity. Or maybe I should say some prayer from the acharyas. You know, I must bring some Krishna into this practice. And then after some time, ping, all of a sudden you are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And you don't even look at the wristwatch. It seems it's no longer now, this is a challenge to the translator, it's no longer self-willed, it is self-impelled. It's no longer by your willpower that you do this, but it starts from a deeper place and it carries you on. We all have these Krishna moments. I don't think anyone would join this movement if they wouldn't have some Krishna moments before and have some conviction. Unless you are, of course, a homeless person and you want food, then that's also. But you won't stay for long if that is the motivation. Thank you, Nitaidaya. This was a wonderful question. I think I will let us end here because there are other seminars today.